Deuteronomy chapter number 27, if you turn there. Thank the Lord for the good season of prayer. We have so much to pray for, so much to pray about. So I don't have a whole lot to pray about. Well, I don't know how that could be. With all that's going on in our world, and all that's going on in your family, my family, in our community, in our country, in our world, I just don't know how that could be so. I'm overwhelmed, and I'm just bearing my heart with you. It's overwhelming to bow and pray. There's so many needs that come to my heart and my mind, and I just have to ask God, help me to stay focused on what really matters and not get caught up in the trivial things of people's wants and desires. I want to pray for people's needs. And I think that's what really matters. And I think there's greater needs than physical needs, though I do believe there's a lot of physical needs. They're out there, and they're very real. And we certainly need to give attention and prayer to these needs. But I must confess to you that I think a lot of physical needs would be taken care of if people lived more of a spiritual life. When I study the scripture, I see where people have a lot of physical breakdown and physical situations because of a lack of a spiritual walk with God. And I pray that would not be your plight in life. I don't know. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying I pray that it would not be. And I pray that God would help me that it would not be mine. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to have God's hand on my life. I want to be in the place where God can bless. Don't you? I believe that you do. And yet, if we do not get God's help in the matter, we'll not do it. We need God to help us in this and every area of our lives. Now, we're all different, and we're all going to do things maybe a little bit different. But when it comes to this thing of serving God, brethren, I just want you to know the differences are not that many. When it comes to this thing of serving God, the differences in our lives are not that many. God has expectations of every one of us, and they're very, very close. Though He may have given you a different ministry than me, and me a different ministry than you, God has expectations of us, requirements, if you will. And you may remember the last time we were in the book of Deuteronomy, we talked about some of those requirements. What doth the Lord require of Israel? Well, God has requirements for His people, whether it be nationally speaking as Israel or whether it be positionally speaking as you and I who are saved. God has requirements of us. You may recall that when we began in the book of Deuteronomy, we broke it down this way, and I want to give it to you again. I hope that I give it to you so many times that you'll be able to say it without looking at your notes. Verses or chapters 1 through 3, we get a little bit of history. And he looks back, Moses does, and he says, this is the history. I want to tell you about your forefathers. I want to tell you about those who came up to Kadesh Barnea, and instead of going over into the land, they questioned, they doubted God, and so they went into wilderness wanderings, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And he said, don't you make that same mistake. And so we have that history in chapters 1 through 3, and then in chapters 4 through 12, it's not about history or a backward look, it's about holiness. It's an inward look. You know, you say, well, history is the greatest teacher. Well, history is a good teacher, but it's not the greatest teacher. The Holy Ghost of heaven is the greatest teacher. And He can teach you some stuff that history can't teach you. The Holy Ghost can teach you what's ahead. You say, well, history can too. Not always. And so He said, I want you to look inside. See what you made of. I want you to look inside and see what God has given you to possess and what God will do to help you. Where is your personal walk with the Lord? And that's between you and God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. See, no one can make you serve the Lord. They can't do it. I can't make anyone serve the Lord. I used to think I could, but I gave up on that a long time ago. No one can make you serve God. If you do not have it in your heart that you want to serve God from your heart, you will not serve the Lord. Now, you can find every excuse in the book, and believe me, I'm a pastor, I've heard them. But excuses is not what's going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you want to serve God, you'll serve Him. If you don't, you won't. It's really that simple, okay? Now, I understand hindrances. Great men like the Apostle Paul was hindered. He mentioned that in his writings. He said, listen, I would have come to you, but I was hindered. And so there are hindrances of the enemy in our walk with God. But really, ultimately, and overall, if we desire in our hearts to walk with God and to serve the Lord, we will. And so he said, I want you to think about your personal holiness. God expects his people to be holy. Is that right, brethren? Yeah, I know. So, in a Baptist church in these days, when you mention the word holiness, people think you've gone all Pentecostal. I'm not talking about Pentecostal. I'm talking about the Word of God. The Word of God says you should be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God, 1 Thessalonians 4:7, hath not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness. God's called me. God's called you to walk a clean life. Now, that doesn't mean a sinless life, though we ought to strive for perfection. You say, will I ever reach it? Yes, you will, but not in this life. But now keep striving. Amen. And so then he goes to this next section in chapter 13 through chapter 30 of heritage. Of heritage. And that's what God has given them when they go into the land. I just hope that as you read through the book of Deuteronomy, or as you have read through, or as you will read through, you'll keep this in mind. Essentially, what's happening in this book is God is saying, listen, you're getting ready to go into a new land. And when you go into this land, you're going to need some laws. You're going to need some behavior patterns. You're going to have to set up shop. You're going to have to conduct your homes, your personal lives, in a way that would be conducive to those that are outside of the nation of Israel, so that when they look on you, they'll know that I am God. People ought to look at you. People ought to look at me as a Christian and know that there's a God in heaven and that he can make a difference in someone's life. Is that right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we ought to live our lives in such a way, and that involves, well, it involves a forward look. We're marching towards something. We're not going backwards. We're going forward, brethren. We're marching towards some things. We're claiming victory. We're moving ahead. As a mighty army, we're marching on. The church of God is marching on. And one day we're going to march right on and up. We're going to leave here. That's right. And so don't you ever buy into this thing. Well, you know, the church is going to go under. No, the church is going to go up. But until then, God has a purpose for the church. I'm a local church guy. Now listen, I believe in the body, but I believe in the building. I believe in the local church. You say the building, yeah, you, me. We're the building of God. We're the temple of God. And as we meet here, we form as a local body of believers in a local church. And the New Testament certainly teaches local church. Every born-again, blood-washed child of God needs to be a part, an integral part, an active part, a working part of a local Bible-believing church. And all God's people said, amen. So, well, I can do it on my own. Oh, listen, you'll never find that anywhere in the Bible. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. You see, whether we live or die is of the Lord. Listen, God has put us together corporately so we could assist one another. You go through the New Testament, I challenge you, and look at that phrase, one another. It is interesting. Pray for one another. Provoke one another. Right? Over and over again, the Bible says things we ought to do one to another. Why? Because we're in this together. And I'm thankful for people that'll pray together, that'll stand together, that'll kneel together, that'll fight the enemy together, that'll worship together. That's what your local church is for. Amen. And everyone needs a good local church. Everyone needs a pastor. So I don't need a pastor. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. God has ordained that everyone would have an under-shepherd, an overseer, a man of God. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Now, what's happening here? The last part, and we'll get into that, we're in that part right there, the heritage part. We're in the part where God is saying, listen, you're moving forward, you're going into the land. There's guidelines in setting up your home. There's guidelines in setting up government. There's guidelines in setting up worship. See, God wants things done a certain way. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully here, because we have gotten into this thing. When I say we, I mean as a society, not necessarily you and I in particular. Our society has gotten into this thing the way, you know what, I just want to do it this way. Well, I would be careful about that. I'm not really interested in the way I want to do it, first and foremost. I'm interested in the way God said do it. You see, I want to do things the way God said do them. And I believe you do. And so we need to search the Scriptures. And we need to get biblical counsel on the way God said do it. Not the way that somebody told us to do it. I need to hear chapters and verses when people start giving me counsel. Hey, man, I'm serious. And so we need to get out of our minds, well, you know, I'm going to do it this way. What saith the Scriptures? Right? Well, I believe this way. Oh, okay. But what saith the Scriptures? See, that's why there's about 400 denominations. You listening? That's why there's over 250 translations of the English Bible. Because people want to do what is right in their own eyes, in their own mind, in their own heart. You've heard that saying, well, just follow your heart. Oh, you better not do that. Your heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. You need to follow the Holy Spirit of God, you see. I need to follow the Holy Spirit of God. So here, Moses is saying, when you go into the land, there's some things I want you to understand. All right? And he just said, I want to make it simple for you. And this is what we're going to look at tonight. He said, if you do certain things, God is going to curse you. You say, oh, well, God wouldn't do that. Well, yes, he will too. You say, but I'm saved. Well, a man's going to reap what he sows, whether you're saved or not. Amen. Yes. And then he said, now, if you do certain things, God is going to bless you. And so he said, I want to talk to you about the problems of disobedience and the blessings of obedience. And so he said, here's what's going to take place. Are you in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy? Let's just read down, and I'll just kind of give you some commentary on some of these verses before we get into the main thrust of a thought I want to give you tonight about blessings and cursings. Before I get into this, I want to just remind us all again, this is not difficult. Okay, we try to act like, well, you know, this is just so difficult. And I say we, again, I don't mean you and I mean just society. It's not. If you do what God says do, God's going to bless you. Amen. You're going to have peace in your heart. If you disobey God, if you just take it upon yourself to say, well, I'm not going to do that, you can fill in the blank for any reason that you want to fill in the blank for. God said, it's not going to end well for you. All right? Because God doesn't take to disobedience well. God doesn't take to rebellion well. And so we're living in a day where folks just say, you know, I think I'm going to do what I want to do. I do not recommend that. You do what God says do, and God will bless your life. And that's exactly what Deuteronomy 27 and 28 are about. So let's begin here in verse 1. And Moses, I mean Deuteronomy 27, and Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And listen, God means that, okay? By the way, when you turn over to the New Testament, God still means that. Keep my commandments, right? Not to get to heaven, but to live the good life, to keep yourself out of harm's way. There's things that God tells us to do, and there's things that God says not to do. And it's to benefit you. It's to benefit me, and we have to understand this, all right? God's not trying to keep you from prospering. God's not trying to keep you from enjoying life. God has given us all things richly in this life to enjoy, right? Yes, amen. And so don't buy into that. That's the devil's lie. And so he said, you keep all, you see that right there in the middle of verse number 1? All the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. See, this is what it's all that moving forward, moving into that heritage, moving into that land that God has given them, that he sware unto Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. He said, you are going to get what I promised. Can I tell you, God always gives what he promises. He does. And he said, so I want you to understand that when you get in that land, there's going to be some different expectations of you. Why? This is not wilderness journeys anymore. You're going to a new land. There's going to be some things expected of you. Now, some of you are in a place in your life to where God has some different expectations of you. So when I first got saved, God has some expectations of me as a newborn babe in Christ. And some in this congregation are newborn babes in Christ. God has some expectations of you. But now in 5 years, those expectations are going to change. Yes. Expectations change with maturity. God expects us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he said, when you get into the land, there's some things that I expect you to do. That thou shalt, and he said verse number 2, he said, thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. Verse 3. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord thy God, the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. So he just keeps bringing up this land. You're going into this land. You're going into the promised land. And there's expectations there. There's just things I expect of you. Verse number 4. Therefore, it shall be when you shall go over Jordan that you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal. And I thought it was Ebal, but I've done some research. It's Ebal. And that's strange, but that's the name of the mount in the north. And thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. And thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. In other words, don't chisel them down. Just bring the rocks as they are. And I want you to set them up there for an altar. So you see what God's doing. He said, when you get over into the land, he said, I want you to set up. He said, I want you to set up some stones. And he said, I want you to set them over there. And he said, I want you to plaster them in verse number 4 with plaster. And then he said in verse number 6, and thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Now, we're going to stop here just for a moment so I can give you a little backdrop of what's going on here. So he said, you're going to come to a mountain that's going to be Ebal on one side, and then if you'll drop down in verse number 12, it says, there shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. So he said, you're going to have two mountains, Ebal and Gerizim. And in the middle is going to be a valley. He said, here's what I want you to do. Now, that by the way, sets up great acoustics, right? I mean, you got these mountains, you have this valley, going to be great acoustics. And he said, here's what I want to happen. He said, I want, in verse number 14, he said, I want all the Levites to speak and to say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. He said, I want them to cry out from Mount Ebal this. And then he said, I also want them to cry out from Mount Gerizim some things. And then he said in verse number 12, he said, this is how I want the people to be arranged. He said, in Mount Gerizim, he said, I want Simeon, you see that in verse 12, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Joseph and Benjamin. And then Ebal, he said, I want Reuben and Gad and Asher and Zebulun and Dan and Naphtali. All right? God is very specific. He's very detailed. He said, so this is what I want. I want these people over here, and I want these people over here. And I want the Levites, I want them crying out, loud voice. I want them crying out some things. He said, I want the curses to come from Ebal. And I want the blessings to come from Gerizim. All right? Got the picture. And he said, before you do that, he said, now, I want you to offer sacrifices on Mount Ebal, which is for the curses. The blessings are coming from Jerusalem, right? He says, so while you're there on Elbow, he said, I want you to offer sacrifices because there's going to be some curses. In other words, God said, I want to tell you some things that are just not going to fly. All right, I'm paraphrasing. He said, you're not going to do this. And if you do this, it's not going to end well for you. Can I tell you, brethren, God knows what's good for you better than you know what's good for you. God knows what you need to stay away from, and God knows what I need to stay away from. And God knows how to bless you, and God knows how to curse you. God knows what you need. And he said, I want you to trust me. And so he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the priests, the Levites, I'm going to get the men of God to say with a loud voice something, and then I want you to say amen. Right? See, in church we say amen. You say, I don't like saying amen. Well, God said I want you to say it. It just means so be it. Let it be so. Let it be done. And so he said, I want you to say it when you hear these curses. I want you to say, we understand. We confirm that we understand. And God, you're right about it. So let's see what he said. All right? And so he said in verse number 9, he said in verse number 9, and Moses and the priest, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. Well, I tell you, I have to do this, okay? I'm eager to get into this, but I have to do this. Do you see that phrase right there? Hearken, O Israel. You know, listen. That's what he's saying. Hear me. Do you know God over and over again says that? Hear me. Hear me. Do you hear God? Sometimes we scratch our heads and wonder, do people hear God? Can I tell you something? We have a bunch of people who want to see God. Well, you won't even listen to him. Why should God show you himself? You won't even listen to him. See, our God's not to be seen, he's to be heard. It's the pagans' God that is to be seen, but they can't be heard. They can't speak. They're deaf and dumb. You can build any kind of little old thing to worship to be seen. We have a bunch of people saying, I want to see God. Why? You won't even listen to him. I'm not being mean. I'm just being straightforward. And God is saying, listen to me. Hear me. Hearken to me. Listen up. I've got some things that you need to know. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice? I am so thankful that I hear God. Amen. You say, preacher, I can't say that. Somebody think I'm crazy. I don't care what people think. I hear God. God speaks to me. If you're saved, God speaks to you. Amen. Do you hear God? He is saying, I am beginning to wonder if you're hearing me. Hear me. He says it over and over again. You know why he says it? Turn with me just for a moment back to chapter number 9. Would you do this? Turn back to chapter 9 of Deuteronomy. There's a statement made, and listen, we don't have to question if God loves the children of Israel. God loves the children of Israel. But he said here in chapter number 9, he said, listen, you've got a problem. You've got a problem either not hearing me or hearing me and not obeying me. And God just shot straight with them, brethren. Some folks just need to be shot straight with. You are listening, you are hearing God, but you're not doing what God's saying. I've got to tell you, it's not going to end well for you. Now, listen, this is serious. I fear that we live in a time where folks say, well, you know what? If I listen to God, it doesn't matter. If I don't listen to God, it doesn't matter. It does indeed matter. And so here in verse number 24 of chapter 9, this is what the Word of God said. Right at the latter part of verse 8, it says, nor hearken to his voice. They just were not listening. They wouldn't listen to God. And then he said, you have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Can that be said about you? If you're watching by live stream, can that be said about you? You've been rebellious since the day I knew you. You've been struggling to do what God said. You won't listen to God for nothing. You won't follow God's commandments. You won't do God's will. And then you scratch your head and wonder, why do I feel this way? Why am I in this predicament? I'm not being mean here. I want to give you, before we close the service tonight, I want to give you some hope of how you can get out of that mindset and that situation in your life. Do what God says and the blessings of God. God said, listen, you prove me. You do what I say, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. That's not just talking about giving, brethren. That's talking about obedience in every area of our life. God said, I'll bless your life. But he said, you know, I've told you to do this and this and this and this, and you think you can do it some of the way, half of the way, or not do it at all, and I'm still going to bless you. And God said, that's not the way it works. That may be the way it works with your neighbor. That may be the way it works with that fellow you work for down at the shop. But that's not the way it works with the God of heaven, brethren. Amen. And so God is not a man that we would test him in that way and say, well, God's going to bless me whether I do what he says or not. No, he's not. God is going to honor his word in every situation. And so if you're sitting here tonight, if you're watching by live stream and you have just the faintest of ideas that, you know, I'm just going to do a little bit of what God says and I'm going to reap his full blessing. No, you're not. And so I want to help you, okay? I want to help you. Go, if you would, to chapter 4, and we're just going to go through, and I want to show you a few things to get up to what God said on those mountains. A mountain of cursing and a mountain of blessing. In chapter 4, look, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and look at verse number 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel. Look at chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. Hear, therefore, O Israel. Look at chapter 6, verse number 4. Hear, O Israel. Look at chapter 9, verse number 1. Hear, O Israel. It just keeps on and on. Chapter number 20, look at it. Over 50 times in the book of Deuteronomy, the word hear is used. I think the children of Israel had become dull of hearing. That's why when Paul wrote to the Hebrews, he said, you have become dull of hearing. For in the time that you should be teachers, he said, you have need that someone teach you. Isn't that what it says? I think that's Hebrews 5:14. And so we don't want to find ourselves in chapter 20, verse number 3, look at it. Chapter 20, verse number 3, it says, and she'll say unto them, hear, O Israel. We don't want to, as we go back to chapter 27, constantly having to have God to kind of shake us and say, hey, are you listening? I'm speaking. Are you listening? I come to you while you're in your bed lying at night and I speak to you. Are you listening? I speak to you when you're reading my word. Are you listening? When your teacher is teaching your Sunday school class, I am speaking to you. Are you hearing? Are you hearing when the preacher's preaching? Or is your life and your heart so full of the cares and the snares of this world that you can't even hear me anymore? Has the noise of the world drowned out the voice of God in our lives? In our churches? Brethren, can I tell you to do a little research on how many churches are preaching the gospel in 2022? You say, well, preacher, all the churches are preaching the gospels. You're not listening. There's hardly no churches preaching the gospel anymore. When you look at all the churches that are in this world, around this globe, there is a very small percentage that is even preaching the gospel, let alone the whole counsel of God. No wonder we have spiritually ignorant people in our world that you can ask, are you saved? And they'll say, oh yeah, I'm a good person. That has nothing to do with being saved. Are you saved? Oh yeah, I got baptized when I was 4. That has nothing to do with being saved. Are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I was born in America. That has absolutely nothing to do with being a Christian. When you die, are you going to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I joined the church down the road. That has nothing to do with going to heaven. We have a spiritually ignorant world because men of God have quit preaching the Bible and the people of God have quit hearing when God speaks. God told the children of Israel over and over and over and over and over again, hear, 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 listen. And they would for a little bit, and then they'd just revert right back to their old ways. And they'd say, you know, we don't like the way God does it. Aaron, get up. Make us a god of gold. Is that right? You know what they did? They all took their jewelry off and brought it to Aaron. And of course, Aaron, he's like a lot of, you know, he's like a lot of folks today. He passed the buck. When he was confronted, he said, oh, I don't know. They brought me all this jewelry. I just all I did is threw it in the fire and the calf came out. Yeah. Look, I don't know if you know this or not. It's human. Listen, I laugh. I do. When I read that, I think, that is something. But can I tell you, had Moses not interceded for 40 days and 40 nights, God would have taken Aaron out. You need to read the scripture. See, while we may look at that and think, well, that's just a humorous thing, can I tell you, God doesn't look at sin and disobedience as humorous. God was going to deal with Aaron. God was going to take his life. And Moses fasted and prayed. Read it. He fasted and prayed and said, God, please don't take my brother's life. And God had mercy on Aaron. See, God doesn't take to people not listening to what he said. God doesn't take well to that, brethren. And somehow we've got to this place of where we think, well, it's okay if I listen, it's okay if I don't. It's not okay. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, it'd be better for you not even to have been in a place to hear than to hear and not do. Did you know that? You say, well, I'll just quit coming to church. Then you're going to be cursed with a double curse. All right? I'm just shooting straight with you here. We just live in a day where my grandmother used to make this statement. She said, boy, you don't believe cow horns are hooked. Now, right after that, I usually felt pain and down below my waist. I don't know what those two things had to do together, but she connected the dots. Cow horns do hook when grandmas are involved. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is very, very concerned that you and I hear what he says. So now as we go back, I got a little off track there, but I want you to get the gist of this. Please don't think, well, it's not important that I listen to what God says. It has all the importance of your life. Your life will be blessed or cursed, fulfilled or unfulfilled, in the direct proportion that you hear and obey what God says. Did you get that? I hope that you did, because I want you to be blessed. God wants to bless our lives. We keep talking about God blessing America. God can't bless America. God can't bless rebellion. Are you listening? There's no way a holy God can bless sin. Sin has to be dealt with before God can bless. You understand this, right, brethren? I mean, I believe that you understand. And so I'm just trying to help us to get to the place to where we don't buy into this. I don't get my messages from Facebook. All right? I don't listen to that watered down stuff. That's watered down stuff. Some of it's not even biblical. It's not even Bible. Don't get your theology from Facebook. Get your theology from this book. See what this book says, and what this book says is what goes. All right? And so I pray that you will. I believe that you do, but I also know that many people will search out these little quaint sayings and they'll think, well, man, I'm spiritual. Why? I put a verse of scripture on Facebook. I put a saying on Facebook it sounds great. Well, if you're not going to live it, even if it's not right, it doesn't mean a thing. Right? It doesn't mean a thing. You can put everything on Facebook you want to put, on social media. You can put all the quote-unquote great sayings on there that you want. But if you're not going to live for God, you're not going to follow your own advice, what good is it doing anyone? You're hurting yourself. And so I hope to God that no one in here would think, well, you know, I've been watching Facebook and I've been seeing some really good sayings. The best sayings you'll ever see is in this book right here. Why would you want to get on Facebook to try to find a good saying? Open up to the book of 1 John. Amen. Start reading 1 John. There's great sayings in there. You see what I'm saying, brethren? It's easy to fall into that trap, though, isn't it? Come on. Sure it is. All right. So he said, here's the deal. I want you to get on these mountains. And he said, this is what we're going to do. I want you to say amen. See if you can say amen to these. You ready? Number one. He said in verse number 15, he said, I want you to say it with a loud voice now. And so he said, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Amen. You say, what's that mean, preacher? He said, well, he said, I'm going to tell you the fastest way you can get a curse on your life is through the act of idolatry. That's what he's saying. The act of idolatry. You let something come between you and God said, you're going to have a curse on your life. That's what God said. Folks say, well, we'd like to come to church Sunday, but my kid's got a ball game. Curse. Just telling you. My favorite team's playing Sunday evening, so I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to church. Curse. Yeah. Got family in from out of town, so we won't be there Sunday morning. Curse. Idolatry. Would like to be at church, but I've got so much to do. I'm behind. It's going to take me working 7 days for the next 4 months to get caught up. Curse. I'm not that old. Amen. I'm not some of those priests. I give you an opportunity to say amen, and you just sit there. Curse. I can remember a day, and listen, if you do this, don't. I'm trying to help some people here. I can remember a day when even lost people did not mow their lawns on Sundays. Respect for the Lord's day. Respect for the Lord's day. Can I tell you, Sunday, it started out, and I want you to listen very carefully. It started out to being the Lord's day. I rarely hear people refer to that day as the Lord's day anymore, even Christians. And then it came from, this happened in my lifetime. Okay, my lifetime, who I mind you again, am not that old. In my lifetime, it went from the Lord's day to Sunday. Right? Some of you remember this. Don't you look at me, you're old too. Or not that old, I'm sorry. Right? The Lord's day, Sunday. Well, I missed one. It went from the Lord's day, the first day of the week. Sunday, weekend. I've watched it happen in my lifetime. In my lifetime, that has happened. Sunday is the weekend. No, it's not. Who told you that? Sunday's the Lord's day. It's the first day of the week. Sunday's the Lord's day. It's a day we celebrate that Jesus Christ came out of the grave. He's alive, amen. Amen. It's not a day to mow your lawn. It's not a day to catch up on your work. It's a day to worship God. It's a day that you rest and you reflect and you refresh and you just focus on who God is and what God's done for your life. And you come down to the house of God and you worship with God's people and you fellowship with God's people and you recharge to go out and do God's will. It's not a day for you to spend on yourself. Well, Sunday's my only day of rest. No, it's not. It's the only day you take a rest. And so I'm just trying to say that God said right here, I will curse you if you get idolatry in your life. So be careful, okay? Be careful. Let's look at verse number 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, So I don't know what that means, preacher. Did I just say amen to something I didn't know what it means? It means to hold their parents in contempt. See, God always does this. He starts with himself, and then he immediately moves to the family. God is pro-family. He is. If you think for one moment that God is going to tolerate you smart-mouthing your parents, and or as a parent, you allowing your children to smart-mouth you and hold you in contempt, which is, by the way, that's what that means. Look it up. And you not have an authority in your home and train up your children. He just spent a whole chapter in chapter 6 dealing with this. God said, you're going to be cursed. You'll live to regret this, my friend. Can I tell you that parental authority in our day is a joke? It's a joke. People have no regard whatsoever for parental authority. Well, hardly for any authority. Am I right, brethren? Zero. Zero. All the people said amen. I say amen. I'm not going to have time to finish this tonight. I might as well just mention these and then we'll come back to them. Okay? Number one, God, in verse number 15, God is concerned about how you treat him, how you treat his day, how you treat his word, how you treat his house, how you treat his people. God is concerned about these things. We seem to have no regard for it whatsoever. And I don't mean, again, I don't mean you and I mean as a society. It just seems like people have absolutely no regard for these things anymore. Could it be that we've quit being the light and the salt? We've quit being the example? And we've kind of fallen off some? I don't know. Only you can answer that for you and I can answer it for me, but God help us. And then it gets to the family and it says, listen, don't you allow the children to disrespect you. Don't you allow children to disrespect you. You say, well, preacher, you can't spank my child. Well, then don't have them around me. Don't ever ask me to keep your children if I can't spank them. I won't keep your children if I can't spank them. You say, that's mean. I know it. I'm a mean person. We need some mean people. We've gotten so soft, and I tell you, we're so soft and misguided, and it's just ridiculous. By the way, just in case somebody leaves here mad and says, well, I'll tell you right now, that preacher's not going to spank my children. I've got an idea. You spank them. And that way I won't have to. Amen. You spank them. And that way they won't show out in Walmart. That way they won't embarrass you in public. That way they won't be a menace in society. That way you won't have to go down and visit them 20 years from now in the penitentiary. All right? Put some leather on them. Amen. That's beating them, preacher. Nah. The Bible calls it discipline. So I don't like that. Well, I think if you'll study the Proverbs, by the way, I had somebody challenge me not long ago and said, you can't show me anywhere in the Bible it says that you ought to spank your children. I said, have you read the book of Proverbs lately? Now again, and I have to qualify this because of this soft age that we live in. I don't think for you, but in case there's somebody watching, but that preacher down there at Fellowship, yeah, me, that preacher down there at Fellowship, he's for beating children. If you were to abuse a child in my presence, me and you wouldn't get along well. I am not for abuse, but I am for discipline. I don't know how I could say it any clearer. I am not for abuse, but I am for discipline. All right? Verse number 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. You say, what's that mean? That means you leave what belongs to your neighbor alone. He worked for that. That's his property. Don't you try to get something that you hadn't purchased or he didn't give you. That's exactly what it means. They were landmarks. They were corner pins, and said, listen, don't you try to move those. Be honest with your neighbor. Don't take something that's not yours. And all the people said, amen. Right? Love your neighbor. Help your neighbor. Our time is up, but let me just mention these. Verse number 18, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, amen, which simply just means, and I'll get into it in detail, those that are unfortunate are less fortunate, or those that have physical handicaps or needs, don't take advantage of those people. Those are the people you need to be out helping and assisting in life. Yes. Verse number 19. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of a stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, amen. Amen. Again, it's helping those that are less fortunate, that have fallen on hard times or that have had tragedy in their life. Verse 20, cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, yeah. You don't sleep with your stepmother. Yeah. Listen, he mentions incest. He mentions bestiality in verse number 21. Cursed is he that lieth with any manner of beast. Yeah. You shouldn't have to tell people that, preacher. Yeah, I know you shouldn't. But we do. God knew we would. And here we are. Right? Verse number 22. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people said, amen. God is direct. Listen, he is against incest. A father that would, well, any man really, but a father that would be inappropriate with his daughter is sick, twisted, perverted. You listening? And the judgment of God's on your life. Curse it, he said. That's right. He said in verse number 23, cursed is he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, amen. I don't think I have to go into that one. Verse number 24, cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. In other words, you can't murder your neighbor. You can't smite, you can't murder, you can't take someone's life, an innocent life. And he said in verse number 25, he said, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. You can't be a contract killer. You can't, you know, be bribed into taking people's lives. Right? Verse number 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say. In other words, if you have a problem with anything that you just read or that I just read with you, there's something wrong with you. And you need to get that figured out. Something's not right. Because these are God's words, and God's words are always right. Our time is up. I hate to end on cursings. And so I just want to give you three, okay? Look in chapter 28, verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be. Chapter 8, verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. God said, I'll bless you no matter where you are, whether you're a country boy or a city girl. He said, I'll bless you. Amen. Is that what he's saying in verse number 3 of chapter 28? Yes, he is. God said, I'll bless you. He said in verse number 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep. God said, I'll cause you. He said, I will bless you. I will pour it on you. If you will keep my word and keep my commandments. That's right. He said in verse number 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. He said, I will add to you. I will increase you. He said, I will bless you with productivity. He said, you'll be blessed. And then finally in verse number 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Whether you're coming or going, God's going to bless you. Now, I'm just telling you what God said, okay? God said, hear me. Hear me. There are some things that you do. If you do them, I will curse you. And by the way, God has a curse on sin. Sin is a curse. But God has a promise of blessing upon obedience, all right? Let's all stand. Now, you say, preacher, that's just simple stuff. Yeah, I know. We just can't get it down. It's so simple, we can't get it down. And here's why. I think the first reason is either we think we can do it ourselves or we don't care to do it. You'll never be able to please God in your flesh. Without faith, please listen to me, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. God is pleased by faith, which means what? Believing Him. So I just want to bring glory to God. You know, how do you bring glory to God? Taking Him at His word. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How? He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Read Romans chapter 4. Abraham gave glory to God. Glory to God how? By believing Him. How can I give glory to God? By believing Him. I just believe what God says. God says, don't do this. I say, I believe you, God. I shouldn't do it. I'll be cursed. God says, do this, and I'll bless you. I believe you, God. That's what brings glory to God, us believing Him. Let's bow our heads together.